This was recorded at the 5th Chinmayog Live event, Media Widgetized, on May 16th, 2007, in London, featuring on the panel Mark Taylor, Head of Content at Aircom and founder of Sleeve Notes, George Bukowski, Head of Internet Strategy at BT Retail, Fergus Burns, CEO and founder of Nooked, Jonathan Gabay, Solutions Manager at eBay, Hege Hagman, Business Development Manager and inventor of Widsets, with Steve Babrick chairing. The event was produced by Chinmayog editor Deirdre Malloy, with podcast services provided by Perfect Path Consulting. Part 1.
My name's Steve Babrick, and it's my fault that we're running late, so I'm going to try and keep my contribution really, really short.
And I hate you.
Yes. It's already been established that Hege hates me. So we're going to try and keep my contribution really, really short, and then I'm going to structure this such that everybody gets to talk for a little while. But Sam, Deirdre, and so on have warned me that when you do that and when you let people talk for too long, it gets really boring and the crowd gets restive and, you know, the cans start to fly and so on. So what we're going to do is try and keep each of those little things really short. So I'm going to ask each of you to speak for just a couple of minutes each about what you're doing, context, what you're up to, and so on. And then hopefully we can permit everybody else to participate. And just by way of an introduction, I just was making some notes in the cab on the way down, and I was just kind of thinking about what it's like to be human. And one of the most important characteristics of human beings is that we hold in tension these two forces. We hold in tension the forces of collapse, of disintegration, of decomposition, you know, these kind of the forces that sometimes are called entropy. The kind of centrifugal forces that throw everything apart and cause everything to descend to chaos. And the other force, the opposite force, the force of concentration, integration, pulling together, gathering together, holding things together for stability, and the kind of security that we understand as people. And by means of this tension, we have created culture. Everything you see around you, economic value, all of this flows from that tension. The tension between collapse, disintegration, and order, information. So tonight I've got five people to talk to you, all of whom represent the forces of disintegration. They're going to introduce you to the concept of the widget. The context is media. But I think it's a little wider than that. And they're going to tell you that by means of their infernal tools, they're going to cause all of human culture to disintegrate and to fly apart into a million tiny pieces like confetti all over the internet. And somehow we have to get from them tonight a plan for not causing the collapse of human culture as we understand it. So I'm going to start. I'm serious. I'm going to start with, over here on my left-hand side, your right-hand side, Mark Taylor, over here, who my clever system failed immediately, didn't it? Who's Head of Internet Strategy at BT Retail. Thank you. Go ahead.
So I'm sure you're wondering why someone from BT is actually talking to you about the future of the internet, and especially widgetization, which seems like something quite new. So, In a nutshell, we were brought on to BT to look at a lot of their strategy stuff, the corporate development stuff, about a year and a half ago, and have come up with some really good plans, put a lot of stuff into operation. Very little stuff has gotten out there into the market. But importantly, on the widgetization front, which we have been looking at a lot, there's a few really salient points. One is that widgetization is not new at all. In fact, it's been around quite a while. In fact, there's one company that pretty much predicates their entire success to widgetization, which is the really interesting bit, Google. AdSense for content, probably the best widget that was ever created and fulfills all the criteria of a widget. Do something that is very distributable across the net, something that I can set up and do very easily and quickly, that I can embed automatically into my web page, doesn't require lots of effort. They did that a long time ago. They set up a ridiculous revenue stream. 50% of their $9 billion+ this year comes from an embedded widget that serves ads. So widgets are not new. It's just the new popular word right now. From my perspective, doing a lot of corporate development and strategy stuff, Photo Bucket, really interesting widget. Moron simple. Anyone here could do it if you graduated from high school, but you know what? None of us did, and none of us earned the $250 million that MySpace just spent, well, Fox Interactive Media just spent to acquire that company. You know, there's a couple salient points that I just want to mention, just two actually. One is create a brand that's really simple. Do one thing and do one thing really, really well, and make sure that your brand is associated with that. Then the second bit is make it so idiot-proof and usable that even someone on MySpace can use it. And effectively, they've done that. And that's all they did, is they fulfilled a market need. They did it vaguely creatively. But what they did is they listened to their very, very simplistic users. And that's why they've got roughly 41 million registered users. And they account, as of about January this year, 1% of all internet traffic in the US. So, that's my one point.
Thank you. 2.5 minutes, marvellous. Exactly to target. Thank you very much for that. So, not only do widgets represent the disintegration of culture, they're also for idiots. So, everything's going to plan so far this evening. Next, we're going to hear from Fergus Burns, who works for a company, in fact, started a company called Nooked, whose inexplicable business is to do with RSS marketing. So he's going to tell you about it now. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. So Morris, what I'll try and give is a bit of an insight to the widget economy. And George Morris touched on it with the AdSense phenomenon. Where we came from is we were working in RSS marketing, and we've been at it for 3 years. And last year we sort of hit a roadblock where people would go, RSS, how do I subscribe, you know, the technical challenges. It wasn't idiot-proof, for the want of a better word. A couple of trends happened last year. Products like NetVibes appeared on the scene. Vista decided to put gadgets as part of the operating system to copy Yahoo. We had mobile, like Widset. So you had these platforms appearing, and we were talking to retailers and advertisers, and they were going, how do we get on MySpace? How do we target this audience? How do we get into NetVibes? How do we get on Vista? Will Microsoft bundle our widget or gadget with their operating system? And so we've been at this for the last 12 months. We coined a term last year, widget marketing, that sort of took off. I see Stowe Boyd in the audience, and he agreed what we had to say. But the challenges we've met over the last 12 months is, you advertisers, they're really worried about brand. So do you want your widget appearing on a MySpace profile to do with something that you don't want it to be there? You want it to be viral because you don't want to spend any money acquiring customers. So how do you make it viral? How do you make it fun? And then ultimately, how do you drive traffic back to your site to conduct a transaction? And I have some case study information. One is for a trial that we've done with a large airline that is out of Ireland. So you can take two guesses. And it's the one that got me here for free. And we've done, on their desktop widget, we're getting a click-through rate of between 25 to 35%. On a web widget, we're getting anywhere between 0 to 5%. So that gives you an idea of some of the challenges that you have. But ultimately, widget advertising does work. But it's got quite a few challenges ahead, because ultimately, it has to be fun. If it's not fun, or it doesn't give value to the consumer, you know, you can just move on.
Thank you. Thank you, Fergus. Now, number three this evening is Hege Hagman from Widsets, one of those widget creators.
Hi, how are you doing? This is by far the loudest crowd that I heard so far. I was at Java One last week. There was 15,000 people. They were not as loud as you were just. So, you know, thank you. You're fantastic guys. Anyway, I'm here this week talking about mobile widgets. So what we did, actually, all the things mentioned here, you know, there's the fun part. For the mobile phone, there's one other thing that has to be there. It has to be extremely simple. You know, it's just awkward to use that UI that you have in your mobile phone. But if you can have it fun and personalize it the way you want to, and what we did, actually, with mobile widgets is that you define once what you want from the internet. Like, we have 1,400 widgets at the moment in our library, and 90% are created by normal users who have never written a single line of code. And that is the user creation part. So when we thought about this like 2 years ago, when we thought that it was an idea, one thing was that it should be fun, it should be user-generated content. Other thing, it should be widgets. or find a UI that you can create anything out of. It's not the boring mobile phone that has that icon in one place that you can't move anywhere. You can put anything anywhere and just have it beeping and screaming and whatever you want it to do. And then, of course, solving under the hood all those problems that are on a mobile, like bandwidth and, you know, processor and so on. And we actually have done that with widgets. You just don't see it. You just have a good fun and good time with it. And how is it related to widgets and marketing is that we actually, when you choose those widgets out of that library, like say you have a widget, Wikipedia widget or your Gmail widget or your Flickr pictures widget, we create a profile out of you already. So instead of, let's say there's 100 new widgets in the library, we won't send all those to you to your mobile phone and say, please take those. But we will, based on your profile, say that these five probably fit you based on what you've been doing. And that's very close to advertising. So actually our next step will be that using widget advertising on the mobile phone. So that's the very quick pitch from my side. Thank you.
And now moving along swiftly, we're going to have plenty of time for questions. So I'm hoping that you're getting them all ready now. I've certainly got a few that, that I'll want to bring up. Now on to number four, already introduced as number one. Also founder of a very interesting website called Sleeve Notes.
Well, I was going to use the Google AdSense example as a widget, so I've got nothing to say now. I'm here with two hats on tonight. I'm feeling quite schizophrenic because I represent chaos and order. On one hand, I'm head of content at Aircom, which I've realised already no one knows who Aircom is, but they're basically the incumbent telco in Ireland. And Ireland's a very sort of active market. I think it's in the top five fastest growing broadband markets in Europe at the moment. So it's interesting to work there. There's a lot of good stuff going on. But conversely, I'm also responsible for a startup called Sleeve Notes, which we've kind of turned into a platform now called Quaido. And essentially, Quaido builds thin portals. So on one hand, I'm sort of disrupting the traditional sort of portal business models. And on the other hand, I'm trying to sustain them. So I'm completely confused, feeling extremely schizophrenic. I'm interested in widgets and deportalization. And I'm particularly interested in the way that widgets are able to kind of extend your presence outside your own borders. And they also kind of function as a Trojan horse in some ways. You know, how do you get onto MySpace? Well, you can build a widget and you can, you know, syndicate that, and you can allow users to embed it in their own pages, which is interesting. My ultimate concern, I'm basically here as a widget skeptic, I think. And my concern is that widgets are basically a marketing tool. That's all they're going to become. They're basically going to be a mechanism for advertising and marketing other content tools and services from third parties. So, but I also think they're part of a kind of broader sort of trajectory, which is moving towards, you know, increased personalization of everything. You know, widgets at the moment, to an extent, you know, are fairly trivial in what they can do. But I think further down the line, we can look at how movies can be widgetized, how music can be widgetized, how software itself can be widgetized, to the point where we're ultimately kind of commoditizing ourselves. We're commoditizing sort of software. And you can see that happening now with companies like Ning, People Aggregator, me.com, etc. Conversely, speaking sort of with my portal hat on, I think portals still have a role. I'm trying to figure out what role they have because, you know, I have revenue targets to meet. but the one thing that portals are very good at still is aggregating large audiences, which is the kind of flip to what widgets do. And if you can aggregate a massive audience, then that opens lots of doors for you. It means that you can talk to the big content owners. And when you have access to exclusive content, you can widgetize it. When we were building Sleeve Notes, one of the problems was getting access to good content in the first place. You know, the web of data doesn't include a lot of content you want. You have to pay for it. So, you know, telcos and portal businesses have deep pockets. They can spend money on content, and then they can do interesting things with it. So that's the sort of dichotomy.
Right, to finish, and just before we get into the questions, I hope you're getting ready, getting revved up. I don't see anybody taking any notes or anything. Our final speaker is Jonathan Gabay, who's responsible for chopping up eBay into tiny little pieces.
So for me, the big question is, what is a widget? The first thing that comes to mind personally is that a widget is something that facilitates content distribution. And putting on my eBay hat, the big thing that I'm interested in is distribution of content and monetization. So how do you get your content out there from a centralized site? And how do you incentivize people to actually click on things to use your content? And that's monetization. So I think eBay is a great example for whether a widget's a good widget or not, because eBay is very time sensitive. So anytime, any place, mobile widget, on-site, on your start page, on Google, iGoogle, etc. So eBay is kind of a really good case study for what makes a good widget. In fact, there's been a recent development by the US team called eBay to Go, which is very similar to a YouTube kind of widget. You can actually type in your auction item, paste it wherever you want on your websites, and it has a little flash window that comes up. So some really, really good ideas of what widgets are, how they work. And to facilitate that, I think a really key important thing is to have an API. And eBay's got a great API, as do Amazon and Google, and that really is the way you distribute your content. But as you mentioned, there are questions, how do you control your content? What happens when your content comes out to other sites? Do you lose control? And those are some of the questions we've got today.
Fantastic, thank you very much. Just to kick things off, because they look a bit slow, I'm very, very curious, and I think that although all five of you have given very interesting introductions to what you do, in the way of industry events, what you've done for us is you've just stuck your head up out of your office for 5 minutes and given us the view from inside the office. I would like one of you at least to volunteer to give me a definition of a widget that somehow or another makes it meaningful to perhaps a person who's never even heard the word, but also that somehow captures all the different meanings of widget, because there's lots of different kinds of widget now, aren't there, both on the internet, on mobiles, on the desktop. So who's going to have a go at that? Here we go.
We'll have five different versions of what a widget is. So I define a widget like this. So it's basically the whole philosophy of what we did. So if you would go to a website with your browser, go to some major website like BBC or Times, your whatever big sites, you'll find stock tickers and the weather, the news, the ads, whatever's out there. And you're just interested in one thing, and you want that one thing well to your PC or to your mobile or whatever. Then a widget would bring you that information, and it would not be in the format like that BBC did or the site did, actually. You can modify it with your own colors. You could make it ringing or put your, you know, girlfriend's picture there or whatever. Make it just your way of getting that stuff to your phone in a fun way. That's my definition of widget.
Well, I'll come up with a funny one, which comes from a UK-based widget company called Snipperoo. And Ivan Pope, the CEO, is a character, and he coined widgets as the bumper stickers off the internet. Sort.
Good. That doesn't help either, does it? To be honest.
I'll give another I'll keep it short, too. I'll say it's the chunkification and embedification of information or a service on any website that you can access from a mobile or from a browser, etc.
Anyone else want to have a go? You don't have to. You're not obliged to. Shall I have a go? We've seen in the last year plus a tendency for the owners of content and also the owners of applications that run on the internet an interest in delivering their content and their application functionality in places other than their website. They want to spread this stuff around the internet. And the fascinating thing is that in the same period, we've seen the arrival of technologies to support that. We've seen the arrival of very pervasive, they're everywhere, APIs, application programming interfaces that permit you to connect together websites, to borrow functionality one from another. And that's what's become so exciting in the last year or so, is that we've had this conjunction of the technology and the commercial and cultural interest in this interconnection of websites, embedding my content in your website, embedding your functionality in my website, making my website do something of what yours does. Is that any good? Yeah. See, that was the best one. Oh. I had loads of nods there.
How much did you pay that guy?
Now,